April 28th, 2024. We're in the middle of Pesach on our way, on our march to Shavuot. And during this time period, there's an ancient, a real ancient tradition to be studying Pirkei Avot. This tradition goes back a long, long way. I'd like to, over the course of the next several minutes, together with you, talk about, well, what underlies, or at the very least, the theories that underlie that tradition, that practice to study Pirkei Avot during this time period. First and foremost, before even reading, it should be noted, Ramban Nachmani in his commentary to the Torah makes a very important statement. He writes, that the period in between Pesach and Shavuot is to be seen as a Chol HaMoed of sorts. In other words, we're to understand Pesach as the beginning and Shavuot as the conclusion. We see Pesach, we're in the midst of it right now, as beginning with Yom Tov, ending with Yom Tov, and having that Chol HaMoed in the interim. Ramban Nachmani in his commentary to the Torah suggests there's an extended Chol HaMoed, and underlying that is a fundamental. In other words, what he's suggesting, what he's writing is that don't imagine, and this is a real principle, don't imagine that freedom, that the Herut, that the Chofesh of Yitziat Mitzrayim brought forth some sort of anarchy and expression, some sort of, well, independently on your own as an individual, just decide what you're going to do. Now, you may have been an Eved to Paro in Egypt, but you're on your way. This is not done. You're beginning that march, and it'll end with the reception of the Torah. You'll become an Eved, a slave, a servant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, to understand, says Ramban Nachmani, properly, the holiday of Pesach and the holiday of Shavuot, you need to see them as coupled. You need to see them as complementing one another. One brings forth the ability, that bechira, that capability of choosing and opting into, so to speak, the system of avdu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the other one is what really finishes that. It's the Kabbalat HaTorah. It's the acceptance of the Torah. It's with that in mind that I think we need to approach this time period. It's a time period during which we don't only finish Pesach, we don't only march toward Shavuot, we see it as a combination of the two. So Pirkei Avot will begin on Pesach and end on Shavuot, because somehow it's related to these holidays, to that march to Kabbalat HaTorah, suggest many. One of the earliest sources that discusses and addresses why we do so is Sefer Abudaram. Rabbi David Abudaram, one of the great Spanish rabbis, writes in his Halachot, right after Pesach, in the interim period between Pesach and Shavuot, he writes, V'katav harav rabbeinu Yisrael ben Yisrael shehata'am shekorin otam HaShabbatot, the reason you read Pirkei Avot on these weeks, on these Shabbatot, lefi shehem yamim menuyim lematan Torah, because these are the days that are counted leading up to Matan Torah. Velachen nimne anachnu elu hayamim kemo haohev shumamtin biato biat ahuvo min haderech. We're counting these days. This, of course, is paralleling the words of Harambam and Moreh Nevuchim of Sefer HaChinuch in describing Sefirat HaOmer as a count up. I'm so much anticipating where I'm going to, I'm counting forward to that. That's in contrast to Zohar, for example. Zohar in Parashat Emor suggests that this time period is a counting away from. We're going from the 49 gates of Tum'ah in Egypt, and we're making our way to Kedushah, to Tahara. We're running away from that. Harambam, Rabbi David Abudaram, following in his steps, sees this as a counting forward. You're counting the days and nights until that guest comes. That's Matan Torah. And now he touches on what Pirkei Avot really is all about. We've been assuming we know what Avot is about. He writes, the majority of Pirkei Avot is Hem Haziruz al Kiryat HaTorah V'Hamaaseh Mitzvot. He says it's charging us to be clear and steadfast in commitment to Torah and Mitzvot. I will discuss in a moment, you know, that holistic view of what Avot is really all about, but suggested to be David Abudaram, we need to see this as part of our march to Matan Torah. Avot will strengthen our understanding, our appreciation, our dedication to Shemirat Torah and Mitzvot. The same way I'm counting those days in anticipation of receiving the Torah, so too as I'm doing so, I'm focusing on what it will be to receive it, what it means to be committed to it. That's his suggestion, that's his statement. It's a broad description of Avot to say that it just deals with Torah and Mitzvot. he doesn't address, well, so does Masechet Berachot, so does Masechet Shabbat. But his words, ziruz, are very significant. He says the ziruz in this context, that it's bringing us and charging us to the steadfast commitment. That's what Avot is really all about. Because Avot, as it's often translated into English, is really the ethics of our fathers or the morals of our fathers. Pirkei Avot focuses on perspective, on midot, on approach. It doesn't focus on the klalim of berachot, the halachot of Kiryat Shema, the 39 melachot of Shabbat. It focuses on, well, what does it mean to be a human being who's committed to Torah mitzvot? That's the ziruz that he's referring to. That's a significant statement. Again, the foundation of Avot is that it brings forth and really aids in my anticipation of the reception of the Torah. Along those lines, in the book Midrash Shemuel. Midrash Shemuel was written by Rabbi Shemuel di Ozida. He was a student of Arizal. He lived in Sfat. He writes, Ve'od Masati. He wrote a commentary on Pirkei Avot. He's perhaps best known for this commentary. In his introduction, he addresses why we're reading it during this time period. In his second of his reasons, he writes, Ve'od Masati Katuv, Lefi Shebaaseret Nitena Torah, והלומד תורה צריך לדעת קודם דרך לימודה ואיך יתנהג בה אחר לימודה. It's as if you're receiving a present, if you're receiving, I don't know, a new car, if you're receiving a new computer, you need to know how to use it before dedicating yourself to it or accepting it. In other words, what he's describing again is the same direction. You see, but you would have imagined the instruction manual is the same way 30 days before Pesach we started studying the halachot of Pesach. 30 days before Sukkot, maybe Sukkot, Purim, Hanukkah, whatever. When it comes to Shavuot, wouldn't you imagine we're going to study maybe the laws of how to study Torah, open up Tehilchot Talmud Torah. Maybe we'll talk about any of the 613 mitzvot. Ironically, the description of these first two sources is that Avot is the most appropriate as that instruction manual because it's to a certain extent the prerequisite. That's the word I want to use over here. It's the prerequisite. It's the introduction. It's the building of foundation. It's understanding that I can't open the instruction manual, which is Torah, before even reading, you know, the front page. I need to read the front page. I need to buy it first. That's lachen tikenu lilomda kodem aseret kedei shiyehye lev kol echad miYisrael vechen lekabel Torah belev shalem litnaheg ba kedat vekashura. He says this is going to instruct us for and how to appropriately engage. Ka'inyan reshit chokma yirat Adonai. He cites a pasuk from Tehillim, which is perhaps most appropriate and relevant to this. Reshit chokma, the first of chokma, is yirat Hashem. In other words, Avot will bring forth that yirat Hashem, which can then introduce us to chokma. You can't open the gates of the osar, you can't open the gates to the storehouse of Torah, mitzvot, if you don't have the key. The key is the Yirat Hashem, the Mishnah Navot, which he cites at the end. Kol shirat chet'o kodemet lechokhmato, chokhmato mitkayemet. The only way you're going to have chokhmat Torah, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, Perek Gimel, is if you have yirah as a prerequisite. Again, the foundation that underlies Torah, you see, because people generally speaking assume these are two separate aspects. It's important to be a good person, and it's important to be an observant person. I need to dedicate myself to Hilchot De'ot of Harambam, to Pirkei Avot. I'll spend time on that. I need to also and separately dedicate myself to Sefer HaMitzvot of HaRambam, to the 613 mitzvot, to the study of Torah, without realizing you can't have one without the other. HaRambam begins his Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah is a book of halacha. Mishneh Torah, by definition, is halachot. That's what it's all about. He starts it with Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, the foundations of the Torah, the proper perspectives. He continues it with Hilchot De'ot, proper midot that a person needs to have. The whole first sefer of his 14 books in Yad HaHazakah and Mishneh Torah is dedicated to Mada. Mada is knowledge. Mada is understanding of yourself, of your ways, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the world around you. This is all prerequisites. This is foundations. So much so that I would suggest that it's not ironic at all that the Gemara in Masechet Yevamot and Daf Samech Bet famously describes the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva perishing during this time period. Then Pesach le'aseret, the Gemara says. It's true, our mourning week end on the 33rd, on the 34th of the Omer, but the Gemara itself, the Geonim have such a reference afterwards, the Gemara just says, ben Pesach le'aseret, v'kulam metu, mi Pesach ve'ad aseret, that's what the Gemara says. What was their flaw? Perhaps they didn't perform the mitzvot properly. Maybe they didn't study in a fully dedicated fashion. The Gemara says quite clearly, Kulan metu beperek echad mipene shelo nahagu kabod ze lazeh. They weren't able to respect one another. Respect is not a clear mandate in the Torah. I mean, you could, Harambam does, in his 613 mitzvot, have mimicking the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu rahum, afatai rahum, mahu hanun, afatai hanun. The same way he's merciful and he has empathy, so too should you. But it's not the simple interpretation per se. And we don't have many explicit mandates in the Torah of being a good person, so to speak. We have to be a holy person. We have specific laws. We have specific stricture. We have determined actions and so forth. The statement that I believe in the Gemara for Rabbi Akiva's students is, sure, we're dedicated to that. We'll work on separately the kabod ze lazeh. It's specifically in the time period leading up to Matan Torah. It's at that time that the Am Yisrael experienced this tragedy, because you don't understand what the reception of the Torah is. You don't understand what it means to dedicate yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You haven't even opened to page 1. You're on page 500 before you open to the first page of this and understood what it is. Arizal, it's well known, before his dedication of Avodah every day, would focus on Ve'ahavta l're'acha kamocha, on an understanding of what it means to dedicate myself to another. On its basic level, I've always believed it means I have to think outside of myself. If I think about another, I can then think about the other with a capital O. But moreover, the understanding is a refinement of character, of self, is what it means to dedicate myself to Torah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't step into this engagement before I realize what's expected of me as the baseline. Reshit Chokhma Yirat Adonai, the Yirah, the Ahava, the character traits, the Midot, all of which Pirkei Avot deals with, that's what it means to receive the Torah. You can receive the Torah and understand it as further emphasis and important engagement, but if you don't have the kelim, if you don't have the utensil before, I mean, imagine someone, I don't know, getting up to bat in a baseball game holding a tennis racket. If he doesn't know, if he doesn't have the tools, if he's not engaged, if he's not wearing the uniform, if he's not properly trained, he can't hit the ball, he can't be involved.
Just thinking out loud, the fact that Avraham Avinu was our first father and his midah is known for chesed, and that's why maybe Hashem waited to get the Givurah in, and then Yaakov was the emet, 12 Shevatim came.
Beautiful. I'll support your notion that Abraham being the foundation of it all from the chesed aspect with the midrash. The midrash says that the pasuk in Perek Bet of Bereshit, in pasuk Dalet, the pasuk over there says, Ele toledot ha-shamayim v'ha-aretz b'hibari'am, right?
Abraham.
Ha-aretz v'ha-shamayim, right? B'hibari'am. B'hibari'am is an interesting word. So Rashi cites in his commentary to the Torah, maybe b'hibira'am, says the Midrash, maybe unscramble the word, it's Abraham. Be'abraham. Ele toledot ha-aretz v'ha-shamayim be'abraham. What's the message? I think it's the same point. The foundation of existence prior to reception of the Torah is chesed, is a dedication to morals, to values. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about Avraham, it says that Aham chaseh ani me'avraham et asher ani oseh, Avraham is going to be a great nation, lima'an, asher yisavet banav, ve'et beto acharav, v'shameru derech Adonai la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat. Tzedakah u'mishpat, we don't have Torah yet, there's no mitzvot. They're going to be, he's going to establish a great nation, because the foundation of it all, prior to the emet of Yaakov, before the Givurah of Yitzhak, is that chesed of Avraham. Chesed is an understanding of the other. Chesed, again, I know it's funny that we're coupling it with Yirat Hashem as well, but it's all unspoken. It's all the gray zone which lies outside of the explicit words in the Torah. Pirkei Avot will address all of that. Perkei Avot will say, before you get into the black and white letters, do you know what lays outside of them? Have you opened to the cover page? The cover page explains to you all that you're supposed to be endowed with before even engaging in these words. In fact, this sort of notion is spelled out by the greatest student, perhaps, certainly the greatest known student of Arizal, that's Rabbi Chaim Vital, in his Sha'arei Kedusha, in a famous passage at the very beginning. He writes the following. He questions why midot, as I mentioned a moment ago, Harambam might incorporate them into v'helachta b'dracha, following in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they're never explicitly spelled out in the Torah. Why not? Why are they not part of the 613 mitzvot? So in his initial paragraph, he describes midot as making up a certain part of our soul, of our nefesh, which is called yesodit. You already hear the word yesod in there. Yesod means foundation. And he describes it as underlying and providing the foundation for all that comes afterwards. So if you take a look in the second paragraph, he writes, ulefichach, ena midot miklal hatariag mitzvot. Midot, character traits, are not included in 613 mitzvot. Ve'omnam hen hachanot ikariot el tariag hamitzvot bekiyumanu bebitulam. They're certainly the hachana. That's what we're suggesting Pirkei Avot is. They're the preparation. Ya'an ki en koach banefesh ha-sichlit lekayem ha-mitzvot al yedei tariag evere haguf ela be'emtzahut nefesh ha-yesodit. As I mentioned earlier, you can't hit the ball out of the park with a tennis racket. So too, you can't perform the mitzvot if you don't have your soul built beforehand with midot properly. Hamechuberet el haguf atzmo besod ki nefesh ko basar damo benafsho ulufichach. Inyan hamidot haraot kashot min haaverot atzman meod meod. The bold words of Rabbi Chaim Vital are bad midot, and he's going to cite proofs for this. Evil ways, aside from averot, are more detrimental than averot. He says that's why the Gemara says in Shabbat and Daf Kofhe, kol ha-ko'es kiilu oved avodah zara, ya haram. Why avodah zara? Do you say anyone who eats non-kosher is kiilu oved avodah zara? Do you say anyone who missed tefillah is kiilu oved avodah zara? Those are also transgressing, going against the ways of God. But the statement is, you've missed the very foundation. He quotes the Gemara Masechet Sota and Daf He, mi sheyesh bo, both in the third paragraph, mi sheyesh bo gasut haruach, who kakofer ba'ikar, ve'ra'u legadeo ka'ashira, ve'en afaro nina'ar. This is a person who has haughtiness, a person who is full of himself, a person who believes that he's the center of attraction. He has gasut ruach. The words of the rabbis are, he has thick air, he has a way to him, which he believes is his own, and all is becoming or coming to him. As says the Gemara, ra'u legadeo, he should be destroyed. He's kakofer ba'ikar. He says, if he's scoffing at the fundamental. Again, the description of Rabbi Chaim Vital, in line with, and perhaps we're following him, everything that we discussed until now is that midot, is that these character traits, we're refining it further and suggesting Yirat Hashem, which is the Reshit Chokmah, all of what Avot is about, and we'll learn it together hopefully in the coming weeks. It's descriptions not of, you know, the pasuk in the Torah that states this, but rather what it means to be an individual who opens up to the Torah. Ubizet tavin, he says, you'll understand as well. Devarim, in the last paragraph, matmihin shamru rabotenu be'inyan hamidot. He says, you look at the words of the rabbis when they talk about the midot, about character traits, and you might be surprised initially. Ki ha'anava v'shiflut mevi'in lideruah hakodesh v'shora alav shechina. If a person has humility, if a person has that certain lowliness of spirit in a positive way, not that I'm depressed, not that I have a certain lack of self-centeredness. I have a humility in a healthy fashion. That brings you to Ruach HaKodesh. That brings you to Shekhinah. That brings you to a higher level of perception. And the Midrash says in Kalara Bati, En HaTorah Mitpareshet El Mibnishe Eno Kapdan. The Torah will be determined and explained by a person who doesn't have Kepedot, who doesn't have claims and anger against others, a person who's downtrodden, but not in a negative way. That's what the Gemara says, that Beit Hillel's greatness in terms of the halakha following them was not their sharpness, it was their ability to precede the words of Beit Shammai before their own. They had a shiflut, they had an anava, Torah, it's not only in terms of your words being accepted, it's in terms of understanding the words of Torah. Torah has a prerequisite to it. Again, it's an often misunderstood and looked the other way because we don't think of knowledge this way. We turn the Torah, myself, not included, myself specifically, unfortunately, I've turned the Torah into a body of knowledge. And who would imagine that you go to a university and you study something and it matters what type of person you are? In the scheme of things, it probably doesn't. You could be proficient in your field without being a person who has a greater understanding of the world around you, of the people around you, of your direction, of your mission. You don't really need all that sort of stuff. But Torah, the statement one after another of Midrash Hazal, of the Pesukim in the Torah which allude to this, is so much greater than just understanding. It's so much greater. We mentioned a few weeks ago in the Derasha on Shabbat that Parashat Mesorah and Tazria put an individual at the center of the whole ordeal with regards to the leper. Person has leprosy, who's going to treat them? Who's going to determine it? You'd imagine a doctor. Maybe it's not a doctor. We'll have an appointed governmental official. That's not who it is. The Torah says it's the Kohen. It's the strangest thing in the world if you think about it from a contemporary perspective. Why should the Kohen be dealing with that? That's what all the secularists get angry. Stop putting the rabbi at the center of everything. Sometimes they have a point. If the rabbi gets too involved, we understand that could be the detriment. Sometimes you need a medical professional. Oftentimes you need a mental health professional involved in cases where rabbis can't be. So what's the Torah? Maybe the Torah is against everything we're saying in that respect, not so fast. The Torah's description over there, as I understand it, as I suggested it, was that the individual who's the Mesorah, the Kohen, is coming and following a set of guidelines. He's not curing him, he's following guidelines. So why the Kohen? Because the leper, the Mesorah, was Mihutz LaMahaneh. He was isolated. That's depressing. I think COVID for a moment, but think about a person who didn't know how to use technology during COVID. Think about a person who didn't have telephone during COVID. You don't see anyone, you don't know anyone. That's very depressing. That's very scary. That's an experience. Says the Torah, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically the Kohen. I thought he's in the Mikdash. That's right. He's doing Avodah. You want to know what it means to do Avodah? It means you have Midot. It means you know your mission to go include the other. I've mentioned more than once that Rabbi Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, he met us, a student of his grandfather, who was also a student of Einstein in Berlin University. His name was Zvi Groner. He, I guess, earlier in his life was dedicated to Torah Mitzvot. I guess he went off the path, I think. Maybe he was religious until the end. Didn't seem that way in the telling of it. And he spoke with him and he said, could you compare my grandfather, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, who's known as early 20th century, the greatest of Talmud minds, greatest of minds, period, with Albert Einstein. Tell me the difference. So he said, in terms of intellect, said the student, it's hard to compare them. They're both great, massive minds in terms of understanding, perception, and so forth. He says, but in terms of chesed, in terms of goodness to others, he says, in a single pinky, in a single small finger of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, he held so much more than Albert. And Albert Einstein wasn't, per se, to the best of my knowledge, a bad guy. But he said that to Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, as the embodiment of Torah, he had as a prerequisite my interpretation, my understanding of it. He had an understanding and appreciation of what it means to dedicate myself to Torah. Before that, I need to be a person who's dedicated to Chesed. It's well known as well that on the tombstone, he demanded that they just write Rav Chesed. They wrote a little bit more. I've seen the tombstone of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. But that's how he understood his role. He defined, what does it mean to be a Gadol B'Yisrael? What does it mean to be a Gadol B'Torah? It's an individual who first dedicated himself to Midot. It said in the name of Rabbi Chaim Ozer Grudzinski. Rabbi Chaim Ozer was the rabbi of Vilna before World War II. In the Ashkenazic world, Vilna was seen as like Yerushalayim of Lithuania. So he was the center of attraction. He, if you had a question in Hashkafa, in direction, you went to him, you consulted with him. He had a Beit Din. He also was a person who just understood so much. Anyway, that what's said about him, to quote more than once, is that when he was younger, he believed what it meant to be a Moret Hora'an Yisrael, to be a Rav in Yisrael, was something along the lines of being a Posek Halachot. And then at a certain stage, you believe maybe it's a little bit more grander and broader than that. You have to build yeshivot. You need to teach Torah. He said over the course of time, as he realized, and don't think he wrote She'elot Yeshivot Ahi'ezer, and he established yeshivot, and he said he understood that the direction and the ambition or the mandate of what it means to be an individual who's teaching Torah in Israel is to include the Yatomim and Almanot, is to understand that those who have difficulty in life, the downtrodden, the impoverished, the orphans, the widows, those are the ones that he needed to focus himself on raising tzedakah, on dividing tzedakah to others. Again, it's all defining for us what might be, for an individual outside of our system, counterintuitive. What are you talking about? Focus on the mind, focus on the actions. What are you focusing on? All the in-between. The suggestion of all this is we focus on Pirkei Avot to be mitakin for the students of Rabbi Akiva. They were focused on the mind. They were focused maybe on the ma'aseh, but not on the ma'aseh of midot, not on the yirat Hashem hi osaro. If we'll continue for a moment or two more, as there are two important gemarot, and I'd like to talk about a historical phenomenon and understand it in perspective. Just the backdrop to this is we today talk about, freely, we talk about something called musar. And of course the word musar is always a word used all the way back. It's in Mishle, etc. Musar to pass over something, but musar really means something along the lines of rebuke with regards to character refinement. And yirat Hashem, all the things we're describing as being Pirkei Avot. But several 150 or so years ago, there was a movement. The movement was known as the Musar movement. This took place in Eastern Europe, in the yeshivot and in the communities. It was led by a rabbi. His name was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and he had students, and those students and students of students, were many of whom were my rabbis, many of whom you're familiar with their names and so forth. They built, to a certain extent, a new direction in appreciating Torah and mitzvot. But their movement was known as the Musar movement. What was the novelty of it? Among other things, it was that even yeshiva boys should be studying Musar. Once upon a time, it was viewed as mabisi. In the Ashkenazi quote, they would say pasnisht. It's inappropriate, haram, they're going to waste their time on that. They should be studying tahorot if they need to study something that gets them into the chokhmah tabore. They should be studying zevahim and menachot. Maybe if they're lower level, let them learn masechet, I don't know, hagigah. But Musa, they're going to dedicate time, it's bitul Torah. And so this was a debate in the early stages of it. I'd like to bring us into this for a moment. You see, I'm going to read to you a story in source number 7 for a moment. Source number 7 describes how there was at a time an attempt. A student, a foremost student of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, his name was Rabbi Yitzhak of Peterburg. He was known as Rabbi Itzel of Peterburg, or Rabbi Itzel of Blazer was his last name. He wrote books called Kochvei Or, She'elot Tishbot Pri Yitzhak. He was one of the foremost students of the Yisrael Salanter. So he came to try to convince in Volozhin Yeshiva, which was this well-established yeshiva for Talmud Torah, that they should include a study of Musar. And Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, who was at the head of it at the time, he very much opposed it. As it says, Rabbi Chaim, this is from Halachic Man of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik's grandson. It says, Rabbi Chaim of Brisk's reply to Rabbi Isaac Blazer, Rabbi Itzela Blazer, when the latter came to Volozhin in an attempt to persuade the heads of the yeshiva to introduce the study of Musar in the academy, is well known. Rabbi Blazer, in support of his position, quoted the statement of the sages. A man should always incite the good impulse against the evil impulse. So you'll take a look at source number 5. Gemara in Berachot says, Le'olam yargiz adam yeser tov al yeser hara. The Gemara says, we're supposed to have our yeser tov fighting against our yeser hara. How could you deny that we need to study Musa? How could you deny Pirkei Avot, Kodem the Matan Torah? Evidently, Rabbi Blazer emphasized the sages preferred the effectiveness of the remembrance of the day of death to the study of the Torah. The Gemara says you're supposed to think about the day of death. For do we not have stated here that at times of occupying oneself with Torah will not subdue the evil impulse, while the remembrance of the day of death will vanquish it? Rabbi Chaim replied. So here's Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik's response. He says, let's look for a moment again at the Gemara in source number 5, Gemara in Berachot and Daf Hei. Amar bi Levi bar Hama, amar bi Shimon ben Lakish. Le'olam yargiz adam yeser tov al yeser hara. You should always have yeser hatov fighting against yeser. Im nesaho mutav, v'im lav ya'asok ba Torah. If you were able to win through the battle, defined as musar. Well, great. If not, ya'asok ba'Torah. Im netzeho mutav, vim lav yikra kiriyat shema. If you were able to through Torah, fantastic. If not, you have this impulse, you have this urge, study kiriyat, read kiriyat shema, kabbalat o malchut shema. Im netzeho mutav, vim lav yazkir yom amita. If you can't, last resort is, think about the day of death, think that you're not going to live forever, and as a result, overcome your inclination to do wrong. Said Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, let's just pay attention for a moment to the description. Let's think about that last resort. Let's think about Yazkir Yom HaMita. Yazkir Yom HaMita is a last resort. It's a situation where his description is a person is sick. You're sick and you go to the doctor and the doctor prescribes to you some medicine. You take that medicine, hopefully it cures you. Imagine walking into Faruwa's office, you feel great today, and you say to him, doctor, can you give me the drip? It's going to hurt you. It's going to be negative for you. Could you give me the pill that cures, I don't know that, but you don't have that. That's going to be detrimental to your health. When you take medicine at times, often, generally speaking, at times when you're already healthy, it hurts you, it doesn't help you. Suggested Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, we're studying in the Valajan Yeshiva Talmud Torah. We don't need that. The Gemara already says that you should be studying Torah first and foremost. The Torah isn't effective. You're sick to the soul. His example was, once upon a time, the doctor used to prescribe castor oil. So then, take the castor oil and drink that. He says, but to someone who's healthy, it's only going to hurt us. That was his claim against Rabbi Tzua Blazer. And the response is not recorded here. It's almost as if he won. If that's the case, maybe we should just focus on the Torah of Shavuot. Two responses. Number one, the last source is source number 9. It's a different grandson of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. He just passed away some 2-3 years ago. His name was Rabbi David Soloveitchik. He was one of the last family members in the direct line, you know, in terms of third generation like that. He passed away just a few years ago. He was a great rabbi in Yerushalayim. And in the book that records his Shi'urim al HaTorah, some of which I was privileged to hear, he used to teach during Se'udah Shilishit, he made the following claim here. It's in his Hidushim al HaTorah Chilek Bet. He says that in today's day and age, whereas my grandfather may have been right in suggesting that if we're healthy, then Torah will be sufficient, none of us are healthy any longer. In other words, his suggestion was, let's be honest with ourselves, is Torah going to cure it for us? We read in Misilat Yesharim some time ago that Torah should have the power to bring forth character refinement. But Misilat Yesharim told us, if you recall, but focus on the Sifrei Musar as well. In other words, yeah, it's a great thought. It's a great pie-in-the-sky objective that Torah will give me character refinement. But if you don't do it independent of the study, if you don't do it as a prerequisite, oy va'avoy for the potential there. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Soloveitchik, the one who wrote number 7, his son-in-law, Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, one of my father's rabbis, he expressed, it's published in one of the books, he says, look at the history of Volozhin Yeshiva. Unfortunately, there was great machloket in Volozhin Yeshiva amongst the heads. Unfortunately, amongst the students, there was haskalah, there was this veering off the trodden path of Torah and mitzvot, of the tradition. He suggested maybe had there been a little bit more musar, maybe. All knowledge, no heart. Without a little bit more of that heart, even if it was just a few moments, even if it's been Pesach l'Shavuot, the study of Pirkei Avot, well, that already prepares the mind for receiving appropriately. It brings us back into the Sha'arei Kedusha of Rabbi Chaim Vital. That is the prerequisite. Without preparing it, without setting forth, reading the introduction page, well, then you're not able to delve into it further. Along those lines, but perhaps a little bit to the side, the response apparently of Rabbi Itzla Blazer in source number 8, this is recorded by a student of Seri De'esh was his name, Rabbi Weinberg, Zichrono Livracha, in the book Liprakim, he writes, or he said, and this was recorded in his name, he said that the response was that you're assuming, and this is a very important principle with which we'll conclude, you're assuming that the Musar is separate from Torah. You're assuming when the Gemara says, Im lav ya'asok ba'Torah, it meant study kodashim and tahorot. You're assuming that when it said, Im lav ya'asok ba'Torah, it meant only bava kama and bava mitziah. You didn't realize that when the Gemara says, Im lav ya'asok ba'Torah, it might mean study Pirkei Avot, it might mean study Chovot HaLevavot, it might mean study Mesilat Yesharim. In other words, when the Gemara talks about Torah, we have unfortunately separated in our assumption that Torah is mitzvot, Torah is action, Torah is Talmud, is the study, but it's not the midot. Maybe the study of the midot is just as much a part of the Torah. Maybe the study of the Yirat Hashem, maybe the Reshit Chochmah is Chochmah itself as well. In short, the introduction here to Pirkei Avot was, in a sentence, why do we, during this time period, an ancient tradition of studying Pirkei Avot? The answer, it is what we fill, so to speak, our Chol HaMoed from Pesach to Shavuot with. It's the time period during which the rabbis, quoting in Masechet Yevamot, the students of Rabbi Akiva, passing away during this time period, al shelo nahagu kabod zeh lazeh. There's a statement there. There's a depth to that. The foundation of receiving the Torah begins and ends with the study of Pirkei Avot, with the understanding of what it means to practice in a full sense, to be an individual who practices Yirat Hashem, to be an individual who understands what midot are. Why isn't it one of the 613 mitzvot? Because it's what underlies all of them. You can't get onto the field without the equipment. You can't assume that you're going to study and perform Torah mitzvot without understanding that beforehand. Limashal, final mashal over here. Harambam has 13 principles of faith, the famous 13 yesodot of emunah, ikare emunah. Many have asked, what about what about freedom of choice? Shouldn't that be one of them? Harambam is so steadfast in the Moreh, in Hilchot Teshuvah, that freedom of choice means I'm a member who's Boher Batov. Why isn't that one of them? The suggestion of others is that's the foundation. I mentioned as one of the principles. That precedes the principles. You can't get into these principles if you don't realize that you have the ability to choose. I can't accept, I can't understand, I can't fathom and take upon myself these 13 yesodot if I don't realize that I have the capability of choosing independently on my own. So to Pirkei Avot is an understanding traditionally of you can't receive the Torah, you can't perform the Torah, you can't know the Torah without preceding it with the midot, with the Yirat Hashem and Shamayim of Pirkei Avot. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen. Amen.